Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That is me, along with Captain Patrick and Barry, our South Florida super fan. Barry White, as he's known today, is going to help us out a little bit for the show, for this holiday edition of the World of Boating. Barry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Do you hear it, Patrick? Does it make the hair on the back of your neck stand up? Get you slightly aroused?
No.
I'm just saying.
Oh, that's good.
Okay,
yeah, that
makes
me feel a lot better.
Yeah, actually, it does me too. So it is a holiday edition. We are in, holiday mode here at the World of Boating, which is pretty much year round. We are a festive kind of show. Wouldn't you agree, Patrick?
No.
Okay. Well, Patrick has to play the role.
It's not a role,
Scrooge,
and I'm not playing
year round. And we'll go with it. So are you feeling a little more festive today, though?
Christmas is stupid.
Okay, I guess that answers that question. Barry, what about you?
Humbug.
No, humbug.
Actually, I enjoy it, even though I'm Jewish.
I enjoy it. Okay, well, there you go.
Because you get the best of both worlds. You get eight crazy nights and Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have to put up a tree. I don't put up all those lights.
All the headaches and stuff like that.
I don't go shopping, all the craziness.
Yeah,
I just watch everyone else do it. So it's enjoyable from my point of view.
Okay.
Are you observant? And do you do the menorah and all that?
Yep. We light the candles every night.
Are you spinning the dreidel, Barry?
No, I'm not spinning the dreidel.
Can you do the dreidel song for us?
Yeah, can you hum a few tunes or a few
dreidel,
songs?
Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay.
Yeah.
And it's dry and ready. Oh, dreidel.
Hey.
There you go.
Oh, okay.
But I do eat lots of latkes. Never had a latke, potato.
Wasn't
pancakes,
that a character on Taxi?
I think.
Yeah.
So latke is a
cab driver.
And
it's also a potato pancake.
Potato pancake. Okay.
It's like a hash brown.
Oh, that sounds healthy.
Yum.
Oh, they are great.
Yeah. Well, he's in the middle of eight crazy days of Hanukkah, and that's all swell. I had two Christmases, or at least one already, because I was in Curacao last week. They celebrate Sinterklaas coming to Curacao. It's a Dutch tradition there in Curacao on the island on December 5th.
Did you scrape all those sinters off of you?
I was just happy I didn't get thrown in a sack and sent to Spain. Because evidently Sinterklaas has a thing. Unlike Santa, you're just supposed to, he checks on who's naughty and nice. Sinterklaas has if you're naughty, not only are you not going to get the candy he leaves in your shoe, on his birthday, on December 5th, he's going to have his minions grab you, throw you in a burlap sack, and send you to Spain.
You're not confusing this with any kind of cartoon-type movie, are you?
It sounds ridiculous. It sounds like something I made up, but I got to say, truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. Wikipedia it.
Righty.
Oh yeah, it's on Wikipedia. It must be true.
Yeah. What do you bring Scooby Doo into it? What's that have to do with it?
I'm pretty sure you were hopping into Mystery Machine to go track down Sinterklaas and found out that it was the crazy old guy from the radio station.
Okay. Well, that could have been, but I never saw him. He's like Santa. He's very slippery that way.
Dude, go to any mall, you see Santa.
Well, right. But, not when he's delivering the goods or, rounding up bad boys and girls and sending them off to Spain.
Off to Spain.
Yeah.
Like a nice trip.
Well, exactly. I was like, hey, well, okay, the downside is I get a free trip to Spain out of it.
There was a joke in there about Santa delivering the goods and moms, but I'm going to let that one slide.
Okay. Yeah, please.
So said he puts candy in your
shoes.
Shoe?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds really appetizing.
Gross, man.
Yeah, it's it's a Dutch thing. They're into the cheese. They're into Santa Claus. And
don't they also
candy
have that weird
shoes.
Fish that they some kind of
fish that they eat?
Yeah, it's like a marinated fish that's supposed to be. It's some kind of delicacy, but it's so disgusting.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I know they like their cheese. They have lots of cheese, even on the island
Maybe
of Curacao. Yeah, I think it's a Finland thing. Finland fish. I saw a lot of fish because I was diving and spent some time on some boats, as you can imagine. We did one of the best activities you can do as a diver or a boater, I think. And Patrick, I'm going to throw this at you because you ought to try this. Even though you're not certified, I'm going to give you a challenge for the new year. Are you ready? Lionfish. Go hunt lionfish. You've heard about these fish, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever eaten one?
No.
Oh, my gosh. They're great. They taste awesome. And we had lionfish sushi and ceviche on the boat after we went down and shot him with a pole spear.
The only thing that was missing was latkes.
Maybe.
Latkes and lionfish? I don't know. I've heard they're good, but I haven't tried it yet.
Well, you know, we didn't have latkes, but we had crackers. And that's kind of like, you know, a similar kind of crunchy, you know, thing to, you know, whatever. Chips. You could use chips, too, and just scoop up the lionfish ceviche. Oh, my gosh. It's good. It's good for you. And it's good for the world because they're invasive species. We're trying to take them out as divers. But even if you weren't certified as a diver, you being the snorkeler surfer that you are, you could take a pole spear down there and probably do it yourself as well, you think?
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably. You don't think so?
No.
Have you ever snorkeled?
Yeah, I showed you the pictures from when I was in Costa Rica.
Right, so why don't you think
I was on the reef there?
Right, why don't you think you could do this?
I was free diving down like freaking 30 feet.
Yeah, well, so okay. So if you went down there and saw a lionfish, you could go and stab them, you know, stab them in the head, and then go up and clean them. How about that? And eat them, clean them, and eat them.
Did you just not hear about the fatal shark attack that happened in Costa Rica from a lady who was out scuba diving?
I did. I heard about that.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's not go spearfishing.
That doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, the sharks don't even really like the lionfish. You know, that's the problem. They're evasive species.
Invasive, not evasive.
Well, both, because they're sometimes hard to find and catch.
And they're not going to hunt them out of existence. Although,
well, they're not. They're not trying to. That's not the point.
They're just trying to cull them.
Yeah, and they've done very good with that in Curacao. When we went to some of the more popular dive site reefs, you could tell that they had been cleaned out because you wouldn't see very many lionfish at all.
Well, you remember we had this talk about, remember the invasive Asian carp on the Mississippi and how they were worried about them getting into the Great Lakes. Remember we talked about that ad nauseum like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were doing all these electronic barriers and all this other kind of stuff and looking for Asian carp DNA.
Right.
And very simply we said, just cook them up, figure a way to cook them, and we will, as a people, especially Americans, we will hunt stuff to extinction if it tastes good.
Hmm. Well, I mean,
if it looks good mounted on a wall.
Okay. Well, we can't seem to do that with the lionfish. It depends on how easy.
Oh, but we'll try.
Well,
and that's what I said about the Asian carp. Just, man, if you make them tasty, people go out there and, you know, just catch them all day long.
Well, they'll catch them all day long, but it's unlikely they're going to be able to fish them out of existence.
Well,
I mean,
you keep them at bay.
That's the problem we have with the lionfish. You can't do it, but you can kind of keep them, you know, knock them back and keep them in check from taking over, you know, reef areas and then hurting the other species in the area. That's the problem.
But we said the same thing back in the late 70s, early 80s about mullet. Yeah, mullet was a trash fish.
Yeah.
You know.
And now you eat them?
Now people eat them.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I know
they do.
I didn't know people ate mullet.
Sure.
Really?
I use them for bait.
Yeah, that's what I used to do.
Eat them?
Patrick, that fish you were talking about?
Yeah, what?
Called Hollandaise.
Hollandaise mullet?
N-I-E-U-W-E. Dutch new herring.
Yeah.
Oh, herring. Yeah. They eat herring. Isn't that like a... Is that like a...
No, it is. It is vile, man.
Like anchovies or something?
No.
Sardines or something like that? Or
It is a marinated, weird, just...
Hey, I didn't see any of that.
They stopped countries from importing it. It was so bad, the smell of this stuff, they would not let it be imported into certain countries.
Well, you know, any fish tastes pretty bad.
No.
Once
this is like that one plant that blooms once a year.
The stink plant?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you do. You got one in your backyard.
Trust me, that's not the plant. This is what I blame it on.
But yeah, Barry, that's the fish.
That and the dog.
Yeah. The raw herring is served together with chopped raw onions and gherkin pickles.
Okay, well, we didn't have any of that on the island of Curacao. We just had the cheese, the lionfish, all the good stuff.
But they will fry it up. I mean, you know, anything you fry will taste better.
Okay. Well, there's Greg's that possibility.
Not, I don't think Greg's doing fried stuff anymore.
Oh, whatever the heck I eat. Yeah.
Well, you got at least one good artery there, right?
Yeah.
Well,
you know, he knows they can replace them now.
That's right. I got new plumbing. There's plenty of
He went to Costco and got a 5-pack, so he's got waiting to go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I had a great trip, and you should have been there because it was awesome. And, you know, being that you guys weren't, well, hey, glad I'm not you.
How was the boat?
The boat was beautiful. I dove on two boats, one nice big, you know, could take like 40 people out. Really nice operating. We did a little cruise to the causeways at Curacao. It's a very cool island.
Nothing but detail. Love it.
Okay. I'll tell you about more next after I look it up online.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Christmas is a loving, honest, and charitable time.
Bah, humbug, that's too strong, 'cause it is my favorite holiday. But all this year's been a busy blur. Don't think I have the energy. So deck those halls, trim those trees, raise up cups of Christmas cheer. I just need to catch my breath. Christmas by myself this year.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, that is me, along with Captain Patrick and Barry. Even Captain Rusty threatens to join us here at the bottom of the hour and check in from Jacksonville Marine. So, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. Happy Hanukkah. All of the above. All the holidays you can imagine. Throw them in there and know that we are happy you are aboard our virtual cruise through the latest boating news and information. Curacao, by the way, just for the record, the boat that I was on was relatively large. It could hold up to like 42 people. And
nothing like definitive stats.
It had engines in it. And but you know, just to give some people some perspective on
that. They could
push
you out there on a floating log. You wouldn't care as long as
I would be happy because I was boating. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what kind of boat you're on.
That's called logging.
Okay, it could be logging, but still, you're floating, and which could have been rowing. It could be rowing, sure, but it's a, you know, an offshoot of boating, so it still counts, and it's still the joy of boating. You know, that's what it is. It doesn't matter what kind of boat you're on. It matters what you use that boat for to enjoy yourself, especially during the holidays. And on an island like Curaçao, a Dutch island just off the coast of Venezuela, and if you don't know, it's right next to Aruba and Bonaire. You might have heard of Aruba. I don't know if you've heard of Bonaire, Patrick, have you? Or yeah. Bonaire. The locals have a tendency to say Bonaire, but when people read it, they say Bonaire a lot of times. Never been there? You don't know?
I'm just shaking my head at
you. Or Curaçao or Curaçao. A lot of people will flip those around. They don't really care. They'll answer it either.
I thought most people pronounced that Caraco.
Yeah, well, some people have. They are idiots. But, you know, but really, it's the ABCs of the Antilles. So you got Aruba, Curaçao, and Bonaire. And actually, Aruba and Bonaire get more publicity than Curaçao.
That would be the ACBs, by the way.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's Dutch.
Yeah, he's so dyslexic.
But the thing is that they like Bonaire is known as the diving Mecca island, and Aruba is known as the sailing and the tourist island, and Curaçao is kind of stuck in the middle, but it actually has the best of both worlds, and in the sense that you have a lot of development on the island, movie theaters, 3 Starbucks.
Oh, that's, you know, where I want to go all the way out there to get away from the hustle and bustle of what's here and see exactly what's here.
Well, no, here's the thing. You're going with somebody like a spouse or something that doesn't want to go boating or diving like you do as much, or surfing or whatever, or fishing. They got plenty of stuff to occupy their time on the island, as opposed to, like, if you go to a Bonaire, you're going to get out there, and if you get blown out because the weather's not cooperating, you can't dive, you're pretty much stuck in a hotel room all day. There's not a whole lot on the island other than just driving around in circles, you know what I mean?
I could care less, because on my surf trip to Costa Rica,
yeah,
I left the surf guide on the beach. We walked on the beach, I was gone.
What, because he had enough of you and said, get off my island?
No, just it's like, you'll see me when I come out of the water.
Okay.
So,
well, that's you. But what if you were traveling with someone who wasn't as, you know, crazy?
I don't care.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if what part of that you didn't quite
translate.
Well,
no, I totally understand. But I'm just saying, for people that are thinking.
What island out there is the Get Lucky Island? Do they have one of those?
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
It's Dutch, so they're all that way.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, they're tall, blonde, blue-eyed. Yeah,
I'm talking about the women, Greg.
Yeah. They got them there. So you got all the nightlife, all that stuff if you want. But you just drive like a mile or two out of the town, and you're like in pristine wilderness areas. It's really cool. It's a big island. For an island, I mean, it's like 40 miles across or something. So you can cover a lot of ground in Curaçao. So highly recommended. And that's what I'm saying. If you're looking for the best of both worlds, if you want to get out in the middle of nowhere and be a nomad like Patrick in Costa Rica, sure. Okay, go find a place like that if you want to be alone and a hermit. But if you're traveling with people that are not necessarily like that, this gives you kind of the best
of
both worlds.
Then what's the point of taking them to a place like that if all they're going to do is go to a movie theater? They could stay here and I'll save myself the $5,000 in airfare and hotel and food.
It's not nearly that much. It's
whatever.
It's the only
it
way you
matter.
Can get to go.
What was that?
It's the only way you get to go sometimes.
What if it?
You got to bring someone else along.
Well, that's right. See, Barry speaks from experience. He has.
Oh, yeah.
There's Barry and Buddy, and Barry, right. Doesn't go anywhere without Buddy. That's worth a crap. You hear what I'm saying? She rules the roost, as in most couples along those.
Now, if Barry was smart, what Barry would do, and I'm pretty sure he probably does. He's probably got a towboat membership.
He cannot take her out to an island and leave her there.
He probably has a towboat membership, and what he would
do is
take the boat out as far as you can go.
Yeah.
And then call for your tow and say, "What was your port of departure?"
Bimini.
And you say, "Aruba."
And you're right.
There you go, man. They're
okay.
Taking you back.
Well, there's a little holiday gift from Captain Patrick.
All
that
right.
You can attempt to try.
Of course, with your boat, they could probably just airlift you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
Patrick, can I ask you a question when you get a minute?
Yeah, go ahead. We have nothing but time here, Barry.
You have nothing but time. What was the name of that bow? The bow cover that you could put on my boat?
That bow cover, that shade thing?
It was like an octagon, yeah.
Yeah, the shade. Okay, we're talking about taking a left turn there, Barry. Were you just bored with our conversation?
I wanted to talk a little bit about boating.
Are you talking about a bow cover or a tonneau cover?
It was not a tonneau cover. It was not a bimini top.
Yeah.
But you know that extension you put on a bimini towards
like
the bow.
It's like a triangular looking thing.
Yeah, it had a strange name. Tia.
I think Bill, the engineer, was talking about this.
A triangular looking.
Yeah, it was. It's a new kind of thing they put on the bow of smaller boats to give them more shade and cover. That is a little bit more. I don't know. It's beyond a bimini top. It's not just a bimini top. It kind of covers the bow of the boat, kind of in a triangular type of
What's the name of the cover that goes on the front? Not a tonal cup, not a cover that you use when the boat's in storage, but one that you can't remember the name of.
Yeah.
Well, in manufacturing, we had some of our smaller bow riders years ago.
Oh, and you called them pasties, right?
That we made a fiberglass tonneau cover. So they've always been, to me, and I've only been in the industry since 86, they've always been either tonneau covers or bow covers.
Or a boat pasty.
No, that's not it.
That's not it? Are you sure?
But
yeah,
I know
those are covers you use when you store the boat. This is one that you use to get underneath the...
The fiberglass ones would actually, they'd have quick release knobs and would screw down into a holder and would hold it in place and would provide you an area. And the bow covers themselves, although they're not really meant for trailering, you will find some now that, like we put on our boats, they go over the nose of the boat. So for trailering or for out in the water, the wind doesn't get underneath it and rip it off.
Yeah, it's a boating pasty, I think, is the technical term. If not, I've coined it. More coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
This is The World of Boating. Greg, your first mate. That's me along with Captain Patrick. Barry with us as well. And as promised, yes, the man of the hour, at least at Jacksonville Marine. And
at least a half hour.
Okay, we'll go with that. We got Rusty joining us. I told you he was threatening to join us, and here he is. It's a Christmas miracle. I love
Rusty,
it.
Rusty may remember the name of that bow cover.
Yeah, what was Barry was asking about this shade that covers the bow. What was the name of it? I said boating pasty, but they both said no, that's not it.
No, it was some geometrical feature that Bill came up with.
Right,
is what he called it. Yeah,
I think boating pasty would be way more marketable than we don't even remember what it was called from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, whatever he said didn't work.
Yeah,
it worked for him, but you know.
Yeah. What do you think? You like that term, boating pasty?
Yeah, you know, it works for it works. It'll be good.
Okay.
Rusty, what's the name of that? I've seen them on boats before. Dodgers, that's it. Bow Dodgers.
Bow Dodgers. That wasn't what we called it, I know.
Yeah, I know that, but that's what they call that little cover when you want, like you have a bimini on your boat or a T-top and you have a front bow that's open and you want to make a little cover. They call them Bow Dodgers.
Bow Dodgers. Okay. Well, it was something else, but that works too. I mean,
it's a tent that you set up on the bow of your boat.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Right.
Why don't you just call it a tent?
Well, because
it's a boat tent.
No, there was a tent.
If you do a search on your tent, it'll give you tents for land. You
know,
it won't give
well, being that Bill's an engineer, he had worked in like octagon, some kind of physics type of term, and I think it was something like that, like the it was a not an octagon,
On Chris Craft's site, if you were ordering this piece, it's called a Ford Canopy Sunshade.
Okay, well, yeah, the sunshades, they sell them on TV too for your back porch.
You should not be out in a boat if you need something like this on your bow rider or your center console.
You don't want skin cancer.
You shouldn't be out in a boat.
No, you just get in the shade with your sunshade.
You can't drive the boat from up front. Unless you're rusty.
Put on some boat pasties. You're good to go, protected from the sun, but you're still enjoying your boating experience.
More coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
Notice that everything seems wonderful at Christmas.
You've come a-flying from the higher place. Fill the stockings by the fireplace. So you have a Yule that's good. Have a Yule that's good.
Yeah, baby. I like it. This is The World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Barry, and Rusty. We got a full crew finally, and we're celebrating the holidays accordingly. We don't know what it's called exactly, but it's a Dodger. It's a tent.
Waste of money.
No. You're out on the boat. You got your little honey with you.
Right.
She wants to get a little
frisky.
You know, a little privacy.
Want to make that boat a rocking?
That's right.
Yeah. See, now, and you know, Patrick's sitting there looking.
Okay, first of all, on Barry's boat, even if that happened, your legs would still be hanging off the transom.
And your point is, you want to see this?
The cover does you absolutely no good.
I'll send you a video.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Okay, well, I think we ought to move on to other boating news and information. There is some news regarding Sea Ray. And Rusty, is that what you want to address today?
Yeah, actually, you know, I just got back from the Marine Dealers Conference and Expo, and
by the way, heard nothing but good things about you, Rusty. From you,
well,
know who.
I think I stop by and make my presence known any chance I get.
He is much impressed. Of course, he's in his early 20s, so
yeah,
you know, yo-yos still impress him. But he was impressed, and I'm pushing him on some stuff.
Wait, who are you talking about, Santa?
I'm pushing him on some stuff that may, since, you know, production is at full capacity, and,
right,
you know, what he doesn't want to do is, yeah, okay, you start, you know, selling our boats, and you're not getting them until next September, you know,
right,
is a problem. But I know we've got some demos and stuff laying around that we're going to wind up having to unload. And I said, you know, it'd be a perfect opportunity to, you know, kind of get that up to him and let him take a crack at getting some of that stuff moved.
That's a great idea. I told him, I said, we'll do whatever. Just, you know, you need to do something, just give me a call.
So this guy you're talking about is Santa.
For Rusty, he may very well be.
Okay.
Well, he would be, yes.
But nothing but good news there, Rusty.
There's no pictures of Rusty on his lap or anything on the internet.
No, not with this individual. He's too old for that. Either way, that would have worked. Whether Rusty on his lap or him on Rusty's lap would have gotten Rusty in jail.
That's true.
Okay. Well.
So yes, but the thing that you know continually that was kind of coming up was, of course, the Sea Ray's up for sale.
Yeah, this came out of really left field, unless you had been following some of the stuff that I've been saying over the last few years, especially when we were talking about Brunswick stock and how, you know, analyst projections and stuff like that. And it's telling in a lot of different ways, isn't it, Rusty?
It is. You know, and one of the things I thought that was interesting was that talking to some of the floor plan people, you know, going, what's your thoughts on that? And they go, they already have a buyer, or they wouldn't release it that was for sale, which I think that could be interesting.
I don't think they've got a buyer.
You don't think
Why?
So?
Why?
No. Because here's the thing, that the current CEO of Brunswick came up through the engine division, and what's telling about this is they've got some really good boat brands under the Brunswick corporate umbrella, so to speak. And Sea Ray has always been kind of at the forefront, although I think lately getting overshadowed like by Boston Whaler even, especially with the influx of outboard engines. But Sea Ray has been playing catch up where we were trying to match Sea Ray, you know, 30 years ago, 32 years ago, when I got in the industry, everybody's kind of bypassed them. And whether it's a lack of innovation, a lack of styling, just whatever it is, they've had issues. They closed up plants here in the U.S. They tried to open up plants in Brazil to get on the boating boom in Brazil. They were about 5 years too late there. And it's just been a it's been a loser for them, certainly that particular boat brand. So the way that I've read into it, it's telling in a couple different ways what it means for the future of fiberglass boats and the IO market. Because a lot of people with, the influx of outboards have been kind of touting the end of the inboard outboard is going to be a thing of the past. I don't think that's true, but certainly outboards are going to, there's going to be a flip-flop as far as percentage of outboards going on boats that traditionally would be IO.
Patrick?
Yes.
I would think with the smaller boats, the 19 to 25 footers, that the outboards would seem more
efficient.
People would like them more because you get a little bit more deck space out of them.
Well, here's the thing. There's a couple reasons why the outboard market has shifted that way. One, the 3-liter, which has been the entry-level engine for forever, which is that four-cylinder engine, GM stopped making that quite a number of years ago. So they're still making it for industrial applications, but not for marine use. So that engine is gone. That left your entry-level engine on the GM side as a 4.3 Vortec V6, which is no longer available. Now your entry-level engine is really about a 5-liter, and you're not dropping a 5-liter in a 19 or a 20 or a 21 and going to have a price point that is going to go up against jet engines or outboards. So what marine manufacturers have done the last, say, 5 years is some have gone to jet engines and others are switching to outboards. The downside with outboards, and there's probably more positives than negatives, certainly you can increase some interior cockpit space. You can increase that storage area where traditionally the inboard outboard engine would be, now becomes available for storage. But you lose swim platform space, which is a downside for some people because swim platforms have become the entertainment area on a lot of boats here in the last 7 to 10 years. I mean, right. Some of these swim platforms are huge.
Well, that's why you see a lot of the jet boats out there are using the swim platforms, and they use smaller four-cylinder for their engines.
Yeah, my issue with jet engines are they're great for shallow water applications, of course, but one, they are really noisy, and two, they burn fuel like crazy because they know nothing other than full throttle.
Right. No, I understand.
And the other issue with the jet boat, especially in our area, is because we have so many hydrillas and stuff that when it sucks the stuff up in there, especially if you got a lot of weeds and growth in the lake or rivers, then it gets pretty annoying.
Yeah, they don't like sand either, right, Rusty?
No, they don't. No, just go right through your little impellers there. So there's a lot of little things. I mean, they're great boats. I took mine everywhere, and I love my boat, but it did have its disadvantages.
But I don't think they've got a buyer lined up. Here's what they're willing to do. They're willing to take this thing at a loss. They're already, whoever comes up and offers us, we're done, we're out of it, we're getting rid of it. And that's what does that do for the Mercury and Mercruiser division of Brunswick? Because Sea Ray was a large, they use Mercruiser and Mercury engines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, probably whoever buys them is going to wind up with a 1 year or 2 year agreement to continue to put Mercury or Mercruiser engines on them. But that was a huge pipeline for them. Also, you have to look at the Marine Max angle because Marine Max is the de facto Brunswick product dealer.
Yeah. Well, and what does this mean to a Sea Ray dealer, or I mean owner now? Say if they just bought one in the last few years.
Brunswick will take will honor their warranties.
Well, I'm sure they will.
But for new boats, it depends on who buys them.
Well,
and there's been I'm not 100% positive that they've got a buyer lined up. I think whatever happens, they're going to be a lot smaller. You're going to see some boat sizes, you know, the high-end yachts, the 60s, the 50s, they're not selling. So manufacturers are scaling down and focusing on 40, 44s, 45s as the top end, because that anything bigger than that just has been sitting. Nobody's buying it.
So, honey, for Christmas, I'd like a new Sea Ray.
Oh, you could get a good deal on them. I'm looking on their website now.
I was going to say, is now the bargain time to scoop one up, maybe, too?
I don't know. Again, they're selling them for a reason, okay? And it's if they were still viable, and it's really whoever buys them is buying the name, okay? And that's where you may see some dark horse candidates that you wouldn't think of come into maybe the hunt. There was some talk about maybe Marine Max buying them, but Marine Max, my understanding is, allegedly, I should say maybe, is really kind of laden with a lot of debt. And this isn't something that they can take on. Sea Ray is, I mean, you're talking about manufacturing plants, personnel, the infrastructure. You're not taking that on. So
what, the company will sell for what, $1 million? Two?
$1.50.
$1.50 is Patrick's prediction.
That first payroll will be tougher.
Yeah, well, maybe. Get your bid in now. More coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw, put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Divers fear the bends. However, what does decompression sickness feel like? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few signs and symptoms next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Decompression sickness, or the bends, is a risk divers minimize with proper training. However, it can happen. Pain in the joints is the most common symptom. Numbness, headache, fatigue, motor weakness, nausea, or an unexplained skin rash can be a sign as well. If you or your buddy encounters any of those after a dive, get help now. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
That's a hell of a catch, Peter.
Guys, this is great. Not only will I be able to put food on the table and pay all my bills, I'll also be able to finance my Christmas album.
Sessions presents A Peter Griffin Christmas, featuring such standards as...
Everybody look at the snow in the yard.
And who could forget...
I brought these gifts for you, they're up in my bum.
And everyone's favorite.
La 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 la, la 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 la, look at the bells, look at the bells. Holy crap, here comes Jesus, and he doesn't look too happy. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, Barry, and Rusty rounding out the crew today. All right, so hopefully you're having a very festive season yourself. And, by the way, I just like to take this opportunity because it's not clear whether or not Captain Patrick is going to be part of the show next Saturday for the Christmas Crap Stravaganza edition of the World of Boating. So I'd like to give you a penance. Or what is this? This is a Curacao coin. And I think it's worth $25,000. It's either that or 25 cents, but it's yours, my friend. Merry Christmas.
You know, I preferred it when you gave us the coins from Mel Fisher's Treasures. That was a memorable Christmas.
Well, you know, that was yesteryear. And this is today, my friend. 25,000 right there. Mm. Just come and get it when you get a chance. All right?
Speaking of money.
You can use that as a down payment when you buy Sea Ray.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Personally, I think, and Rusty, maybe there's something that you heard at MDCE when you were there, but I think either a private equity firm is going to come in, snap them up, downsize them, get them healthy, and sell them. Or I think a dark horse candidate is CorrectCraft.
CorrectCraft. Why?
Well, because CorrectCraft currently owns Nautique, Centurion Boats, Supreme Boats, Basscat, Yarcraft. They own Bryant. They own PCM Engines, Crusader Offshore Engines, Crusader Challenger Engines, Sea Arc, Levitator. I mean, they're building their own little Genmar, if you will. And they've been doing it fairly quietly within the industry. A lot of people, when you talk about CorrectCraft and Nautique, they think CorrectCraft at Nautique.
Well,
they don't realize that they've got these other boat brands under their corporate umbrella right now.
Yeah.
And I think whoever buys them, I mean, really, they're buying the name. It's the name is worth, that Sea Ray name is worth a lot of money.
Hey, somebody's mad. They're throwing stuff already.
That's Rusty, because he spent all his money on the dealership.
Or what, somebody's going to the toilet? What's going on over there?
No, actually, because I'm at the house today. So
Key Ray.
The home office.
It's Key Ray.
Key Ray wants Sea Ray.
And they're getting ready for Christmas stuff around.
Okay.
You know, it's that time of the year.
So, Rusty, did you hear anything in Scuttlebutt?
And it was odd, but one guy just pointed and he goes, I think it's those guys. And, you know, and was serious when he said it, but it was one of the engine manufacturers, was it like Tobashu or one of those?
Tahatsu?
Yes. Which I thought was an interesting
observation. Tiramisu wants to buy Sea Ray?
I don't know. Japan or China. China might be in the hunt, but, you know, and move production over there.
Yeah.
But it could be disastrous. You know?
Yeah. I think it's going to be a big hit for Sea Ray this year. Or not for Sea Ray, for Marine Max this year. Because I think, you know, that was a big part of their sales.
Marine Max and then the employees that are, you know, based out of Knoxville and elsewhere. It's a fairly big operation. And then, you've got the blowback into the engine manufacturing division of Brunswick, that it's going to affect that eventually. It's going to affect that as well.
Sure.
Well, why do you think
it'll be interesting?
Do you have any guess of why they decided to sell this thing?
Because it's a loser.
It's just been losing. Well, I mean, they were on display at the New York Stock Exchange when I was up there in New York a month ago.
But here's the thing. This is what we originally said, Rusty and myself, is it's foretelling, are we seeing the death of fiberglass pleasure boats? No, we're not. And just by the way, aluminum, which has been leading the recovery in boat manufacturing, aluminum just went up 50%. So you're going to see a spike in aluminum boats here coming into the next production year. But is it more telling with the stern drive market and people just kind of shying away from that? I think it's multifaceted as far as what's going on with it. I think part of it is fiberglass. Part of it is the engine options. And the other part is the way that Sea Ray has been run by Brunswick. They haven't, where Brunswick was their gem, that was the crown jewel, it's not anymore. And as I said, the styling, the innovation, all of that stuff has just kind of fallen away, and they're just getting by. And you can't do that in the marine industry. You constantly have to be putting brand new product from the keel up, brand new product out there. Just like car manufacturers, you can't just update colors and fabrics anymore. You know, it's got to be new, it's got to be exciting, and it's got to be styled to where you're going to capture people's wants and desires when it comes to parting with their hard-earned money for what is a luxury purchase.
Well, I think they've had a problem, because every time I hear about the Brunswick, you know, umbrella name over the companies like Sea Ray and the other brands they have, I just think of bowling. And it's just this me.
Just isn't it?
You know, you try. I just want the listeners to. I've tried for it's got to be a decade to have serious, in-depth, industry-based conversations.
That's not what we're about,
and
Patrick.
I just have not. My apologies.
We
just
apologize.
Breathe, Patrick.
We apologize years ago. Now help yourself to that that money from Curacao and go spend it on a fruitcake for Christmas. How about that?
I'll give it right back to you then.
Oh, boy.
Get that?
It looks the same going in and out, but we'll leave it on that disturbing note. Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.